Now, the title of my message today is Believing God. Believing God. If you wish to follow in the scripture as I bring the message, I'll be speaking from the book of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 5. And our text will be taken from verses 10 through 13. 1 John 5, 10 through 13. Now, my friends, if there's one thing that is established, clearly established in the Word of God, it is the importance of believing God. Believing God. I couldn't have a more important subject. You go all the way back in the earliest days of Scripture. Go back to the 15th chapter of Genesis. And it says this, Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. When God called him out of his father's house to go to a land that he would show him, Abraham believed God. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, but he believed God. When God told Abraham that he would have a son, he was over 75 years of age when God first made the promise. His wife was almost that old, past the age of bearing children. But Abraham believed God. He didn't know how, but he believed God. And when the Lord God came to him and told him to take his son up on Mount Moriah and sacrifice him as a sin offering to God, he started to the mountain. He took his son up to the mountain, not knowing why, but he believed God. You see, from the earliest days of Scripture, this man whom God called my friend believed God. And then David, who wrote most of the 150 Psalms, David summed up all that he said and all that he wrote with this statement, I believe God, therefore I've spoken. That's the foundation, he said, of my faith. That's the foundation of my hope. That's the foundation of all that I have to say. I believe God, therefore have I spoken. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, He that cometh to God, he that cometh to God, for whatever reason, for salvation, for rest, for comfort, for whatever, he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He must believe or not come. If any man comes to God, he must believe that God is and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One day a group of people asked our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, this question. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What are the works of God? Tell us what to do to work the works of God. This is his reply. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. This is the work of God, that you believe. Now, my friends, I want you to listen to my text. I told you a moment ago, it's 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. And as I read it, I want you to listen for the key word. There's a key word. It's the word believe. Now, you listen carefully. 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not the Son of God hath made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record which God hath given, that he has given to us eternal life, and that life in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the Son of God. My friends, there's no greater requirement, and there's no greater gift, and there's no greater possession than faith. to believe God. You see, believing God brings life. Believing God brings peace. Believing God brings comfort. Believing God brings obedience, hope, and love, and joy. Believing God. There's so much emphasis today put on the healing of the body, the performing of different, what we call miracles. But we live in a miraculous world. When the sun comes up every morning, it's a miracle. When it shines through the day, it's a miracle. When it rains, it's a miracle. When plants come up out of the ground, it's a miracle. When this body continues to, the heartbeat and the lungs pump air, it's a miracle. Everything about God's world is a miracle. But believing God brings all the time these precious, precious blessings and benefits. To believe God is to have life and joy and peace and comfort and hope and love. And where you find faith in God, you find these things. These are the fruit of God's Spirit and the fruit of God's presence. Now, in plain language, I want to talk to you for a little while. And I want to answer four questions. These are four very critical questions on this subject of believing God. You see the importance of it. I said to you, if there's any one thing that's critical throughout the world, Word of God, is to believe God. Now, here's four questions, and I'm going to try to deal with them very simply. First of all, what is it to believe God? Just what is it to believe God? Then secondly, who, what or who is the primary object of faith? You know, one time our Lord said to a man whom he had healed, a blind man whom he had healed, he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And this was the man's question. "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Tell me who he is." I'm going to answer that question. What is it to believe God? Whom do we believe? There's a primary object of faith. Thirdly, how does a person come to believe God? What's involved in this thing of believing God? You haven't always believed God. There was a time when you didn't. There's a time when you do. There's a time when you didn't believe God. There's a time when you did believe God. So what's involved in that passing from death to life, from unbelief to belief? And then fourthly, what enables this believing, this faith, to continue? Is it a fad? Is it a passing fancy? With some people it is, soon disappears, but with some it grows, it increases, faith increases. So let's look at those four things in the time we have together here. First question is this, what is it to believe God? Now this is very important. You read that Genesis 15, that's the first time that this situation comes about. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. He's the father of the faithful. He's the pattern of faith. Did you notice something in that phrase? It didn't say Abraham believed in God. It didn't say Abraham believed there is a God. People say, "Well, I believe there's a God." That's not faith. It didn't say Abraham believed that God was almighty. It didn't say Abraham believed that all things were possible with God. It says he believed God. He believed God. There's a difference between them. He believed God. He believed what God said. He believed God was able to do what he promised. How do you know that he believed God? Abraham believed God. Well, he obeyed God. The reason I know that Abraham believed God, God said, "Abraham, you get out of your father's house and go to a land I'll show you." He believed God. Now, he could have believed there was a God and stayed there. But when God told him, "You get out and go to the land I promised you, and I'll make you of your great nation," he believed God. He believed what God said. And then God told him, when Abraham and Lot and their herdsmen, their workers, got in a big squabble over land, there were so many of them that had so many sheep and goats and other animals that they got in a conflict about where they were going to graze them and so forth. And And God told Abraham, let Lot have the land he wants. And Abraham believed God. He said to Lot, said, pick out the land you want, and I'll take whatever's left. And Lot picked out the best land possible, the plain by the water. And Abraham believed God. He went to the mountain. And then when God told him that to send Ishmael away, you remember he had the son Ishmael, 14, 15, 16 years of age when Isaac was born. And God said, now, Abraham, the son of the bondwoman cannot live with the son of promise. The law cannot live with grace. Works cannot live with mercy and grace. Ishmael's got to go. Send him away. Abraham believed God. He didn't just believe in God. He didn't just believe there is a God. He believed him. He believed him. When God said, send him away, I'll bless him. I'll make of Ishmael a great nation. Now you trust me. I'll make of him a great nation. You do what I say. Abraham believed God. And then when he took Isaac to that mountain to sacrifice him on an altar, he believed God. See, you can't separate faith and obedience. And I'll give you an illustration of this. Down in Egypt, God said, I'll pass through at midnight, and I'll slay the firstborn in every home. Now, Moses, you tell the people of Israel to slay a lamb and take the blood and put it on the lintel and the side post, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Who in that country believed God? The people where the blood was on the door. They obeyed God. They believed God. They believed God. And they did what he told them to do. That's what James had written a whole book about that. You cannot separate faith and obedience. If a man believes God, what is it to believe God? It's to believe him. And our response reveals if we do. Do you believe God? I didn't say you believe there is a God. That's not faith. The fool has said in his heart there's no God. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe what God says? Do you believe God is able to do what he says? That every promise he'll fulfill? A promise with God is as good as an act. It's done. All right, secondly. Now, what or who is the primary object of faith? You see, there's a lot about God to believe. I believe his greatness and his power. I believe his sovereignty, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and he'll give it to whomsoever he will. I believe his majesty and his glory, the Lord's in his holy temple, that all the earth keeps silent before him. I believe his holiness, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I believe his truth, his justice, his righteousness. I believe his purpose, his providence. I know that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your father. The stars, he calls them by name. I believe his kingdom and his reign. God reigns. The Lord God reigns. Say to Israel, your God reigneth. The hymn writer put it like this. I sing the almighty power of God that spread the flowing seas abroad. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule by day. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. In heaven he shines with beams of love, with wrath in hell beneath. 'Tis on his earth I stand and move, and 'tis his air I breathe. I believe God. I believe there is a God. I believe God created all things by the word of his power, and for his glory they were and are created. But the chief and primary object of faith is not his power. It's not his creation. It's not his providence. The chief object of faith, the saving faith, is his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen to my text again. Listen to it again. Did you heard it a while ago? Hear it again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not on the Son of God hath made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God hath given concerning his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you might believe on the Son of God, and believing you might have life in His name, and keep on believing in the Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 4, but when the fullness of time was come, 4,000 years after God made Adam, when the fullness of time was come, when prophecies were fulfilled, when the promises were all made, when the patterns and types were all set forth, when it pleased the Lord, in the fullness of time, in the completion of time, as God ordained it, God sent forth His Son into the world. I'm my Father, one, He said. They said, well, show us the Father. The Son said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. They're inseparable, equal. The Son is the exact image of the Father. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. God sent His Son into this world made of a woman. He who made woman was made of a woman. Great is the mystery of godliness. I don't hope to explain it to anybody's satisfaction. God was manifest in the flesh. He was made of a woman. That holy thing which was conceived in Mary's womb is the Son of God. God was manifest in human flesh. I'll tell you why. He's the second Adam. He's the redeeming man. He's the God-man. You see, in Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. First Adam. By the first Adam came death. By the second Adam came life. The first Adam is of the earth, earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. And all men, all human beings of all races and nations, colors, came from Adam. One man. God made one man. We all stood in Him. We all sinned in Him. We all fell in Him. We all died in Him. And original sin passes through the whole human race. We came from the loins of our father, Adam. Now God sent the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, made of a woman. Made of a woman. Now watch this. Made under the law. Christ became obedient to His own law, in subjection to His own law. Now get this. When the fullness of time was come, when all the prophecies and promises and pictures and patterns and types were fulfilled, when God's time came, He sent forth His Son into the world, made of a woman, made under His law, as a man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, representative man, federal head, representing all who were in His loins, all who were given to Him by the Father, all of His elect, His sheep. He was their head, their surety, their representative. And He did that to redeem them that were under the law. Redeem them by His obedience. Redeem them by His death. Redeem them by His resurrection, that we might receive the adoption of sons in Christ. The hymn writer said it this way, Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. He's the object of faith. What is it to believe God? To believe Him. It's to believe Him. Trust Him. It's to believe God in Christ. The revelation of God in Christ. No man has seen God. Elohim. We've seen His Son. We've seen His Son. It's to believe Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The Son reveals Him. The Son declares Him. The Son manifests Him in the flesh. See, that way we can look into His face and see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Not recently, we had an eclipse of the sun. Everybody said, don't look at it. I'd rather try to look at that sun than to look at God in His brightness and glory. Can't be done. But I can look to see Christ in my flesh. Now, how does one come to believe God? Well, I tell you this. Believing God, like any other grace, or any other spiritual gift is the work of God. It's the work of God in us. Faith is the gift of God. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And it's the goodness of God that grants to us faith. Listen to this verse of Scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Faith's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God gave him faith. The disciples said to our Lord one day, Lord, increase our faith. It's given unto you not only to believe on him, but to suffer for him. You know, we can look in the Scripture and see how that God is pleased to bring his sheep to faith. Now watch this. All of you know this story. There was an Ethiopian eunuch. And he was troubled in his heart. Troubled about God, troubled about sin, troubled about eternity, troubled about death. He began to seek the Lord. He didn't know God. He didn't know the gospel. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know the way of life. And so he began to seek, and he took a chariot and went all the way to Jerusalem. He heard that people up there knew something about God. And he set out to find some answers. And he journeyed to where he thought he'd find God, among some people he thought knew God. But he found no answers. They had religion, but they didn't know God. They didn't know Christ. They didn't know the gospel. He found no answers. He found no solution. And he turned around, got back in his chariot, and started home. But he searched the Scriptures. He had a copy of the Scriptures with him, the book of Isaiah. The New Testament wasn't written there. And he was reading the Scriptures. And God sent him a preacher. God sent him a true servant, a man who knew Christ, who knew the gospel, a man named Philip. He sent this man, Philip, to preach to this Ethiopian eunuch who was seeking the Lord, who was troubled in his heart, who wanted to know God and reading the Scripture. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I can't except somebody show me. And Philip got up in the chariot and began right there at those Scriptures and preached unto him Jesus Christ. Now this man was aware of God, the creating God, the reigning God, the ruling God, the holy God, but he didn't know that God in the person of his Son. Till this man preached Christ to him. And when he heard this message, he said, here's water. I want to be baptized. And Philip said, well, you may, if you believe. Do you believe? If you believe, you may. And this man looked at him and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that what my text says? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not on the Son of God hath made God a liar. This man heard the gospel of Christ. And I say this to you, every one of you listening to my voice. John 7:17. My Lord said this. If any man will do his will, really wants to know his will, really does now, he'll know of the doctrine. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If he really wants to know God, he will. Now that's how God works faith. There's a disturbing, there's a convicting, there's a troubling, there's a revelation, there's a searching of the Scriptures, there's the preaching of the gospel, there's the hearing of the gospel, and there's the commitment of the heart. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. I believe God. What enables this faith to continue? Here's the fourth question. What's the chief support of faith? What chiefly does faith stand upon and build upon and rest upon? It looks to Christ. But listen. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that draw back unto petition, but we're of them that continue to believe to the saving of the soul. Faith continues where it begins. believing God. We never looked our experience. We looked to Him. We never looked our profession. We looked to Him. We never looked our works. We looked to Him. We never looked our feelings. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. We trust the ever-living Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. We believe God. And faith continues right where it starts. It never gets away from that one point of beginning. That's what Paul said. We're the house of Christ if we continue. If we hold fast our profession firm unto the end. Abraham believed God, that God was able to do all that He said. And that's where he started, and that's where he died. He died believing God. Abraham left home, not knowing where he was going. But he left home believing God. When he came to die, he's looking for a city. He was going to another home, and he hadn't seen that one either. The same faith that brought him out of his father's house on earth took him to his father's house in glory. That's it. When you talk about faith continuing and faith persevering, depends upon whom you believe. If you look into your experience, you got real trouble. If you look into your feelings, real trouble. But if you look into Him who never moves, ever lives, never changes, your faith continues and takes you home.